Well, we bid you welcome to our Christmas cantata this Saturday night. It continues tomorrow, of course, Sunday evening, but we bid you welcome. I trust you have all your shopping done for Christmas. Yes? No? Oh dear. Well, don't worry about it tonight. Don't worry about getting the right turkey or the right presents or the right tree or whatever it is. Relax tonight. And we trust that you'll enjoy this presentation entitled, His Name is Jesus. And of course, Christmas is all about Him. We bid you welcome. And we trust that you'll have a great evening with us. We're going to turn to our first carol tonight. If you want to use the book, it's 152, but it'll be in the overhead. Once in Royal David's City, stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother, my Jesus Christ, her little child. So please stand and sing well this lovely carol.
Thank you.
Thank you for that good singing. Now let's pray together. It's so important that the Lord meets with us here and that He blesses what you hear to your heart. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this Christmas time of the year. We thank you for the joy of this season. And our Father, that babe that we have been singing about is no longer a babe, but is indeed exalted and is at thy right hand, interceding for us. And in his name we come to thee, and we ask that you will meet with us tonight. We thank you for the Christmas message. We thank you for the Savior who was born. We thank you for that Savior who came not only to live and be an example, but to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you for the impact that the Savior made in this wee planet and indeed in our lives. Father, we are thankful for each one who's gathered tonight. Father, we realize it's a busy time of the year and they could be many, many other places. And we thank you that they're here tonight. And we pray that you will move by your Spirit and speak to hearts. That you'll take the words sung in the carols and in the choirs pieces and also in the message. We pray that you will use it for your glory. Father, we thank you for the choir, for all their practice and all their effort. And we ask that you will bless each of us through these beautiful pieces that they will sing. Father, we know that we have folk in who are not normally in church. And this is a strange experience, a different experience for them. Father, we pray that such will be the message of redeeming grace, that they will feel right at home, and that they will hear words whereby they might come to thee. So, Father, we just pray that you'll bless our conductor, the sound team, everybody that goes to make this night what it is. We pray that you will bless, and above all, that your name will be magnified and glorified in our midst. These things we pray, giving thanks in the Savior's name. Amen. Let's turn to another carol. In the book, it's 148. If you want to use the book, it'll be in the overhead. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. Every year at this time, when we have our cantata, people ask me if we have a choir every Sunday. No, we don't actually. This is a special effort just for Christmas. And the choir have been practicing since the beginning of October. And we have been putting in a lot of hours just to have this special effort tonight. We do have choirs at different times throughout the year, but this is a special effort that the fellowship choir put on. And we, the fellowship choir changes each year. There's some who don't come into it, and yet we see other faces coming in, and all of them have a testimony to the saving power of Jesus Christ in their lives. So I'm going to hand over to the choir to present. His name is Jesus, under the directorship of our conductor, Alison Hargay. Thank you, choir.
you know what it's like to wait for something for a long time? A visit from a loved one, a holiday you've planned for months, or maybe you've even waited for something you ordered from a catalogue. You expected it any day. Then you got a card in the post saying, out of stock. What are you going to do? What can you do? You wait, that's what you do. But when your order finally comes, doesn't the wait make you even happier to get it? Sure it does.
So it was with the Saviour. Priests, prophets and kings had waited a long time for the one called Messiah, the Deliverer. Some felt like he was way overdue. Some feared he would never come. But when the Saviour did come, one night in Bethlehem, heaven and earth, prophets and priests, past and present, were overjoyed to receive him.
Old Abraham had heard the word and longed to see the day. The light of all the world would come and Abe could hardly wait. At last from heaven he looked out and saw the baby boy. The angels could not hold him down, old Abraham rejoiced.
And we rejoice, we rejoice. Messiah has come and we rejoice.
Hundreds of years before he came, the prophet Isaiah wrote,
"Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
We lived in darkness.
We needed light.
We lived in despair.
We needed hope.
We lived in turmoil.
We needed peace.
We needed a Saviour. And out of a heart of pure love, the Father sent one who was all those things and even more.
This child was God Himself with us.
Thank you.
a special thing. When you hear your name, you know somebody's calling you. When you sign your name, other people know you've been there. When you see your name on an envelope, you know what's inside must belong to you.
The prophets had called the Messiah names such as Emmanuel and Prince, but the angel from heaven told the child's parents, Mary and Joseph, what they should call their baby. God himself chose the name for his only son.
Who was the baby born in Bethlehem?
just love to hear good news. And don't you love even more to share it?
When the word came that the Savior had finally come, it was good news that traveled fast.
Come, little children, come to the manger. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see the tiny little stranger. Hear them say it's God's own Son. Come, little children, come with me. Hurry and you will see.
Appeared to shepherds in the fields.
The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord."
The shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph in a stable behind an inn, and the baby who was lying in a manger.
Quickly they came to the manger, and quickly they ran and told the news.
Shepherds gather.
They were called magi, stargazers by trade.
They were seekers, scientists, wise men from a foreign land, following a ball of fire in the sky that seemed to move, beckoning them to follow.
And they brought treasures, precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to give to the infant king.
Gifts that were expensive and highly valued in their country. But they received more than they gave, much more. As they bowed and worshipped the Savior, God gave them the gift of eternal joy.
Emmanuel.
He is the Savior, Christ the Lord.
He is Messiah, Son of God.
He is Jesus, hope of all mankind.
And he has come. No more waiting, no more guessing, no more hoping for a Savior to deliver us.
He came and he is here, and we celebrate him by remembering his birth.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you to Alison for all her hard work, the soloists, to the sound team and to the narrators. It is fitting that we look at the Word of God for a moment or two on such a night. My text comes from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's the words in the white, really, that's on my heart. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. It is very seldom that I quote from Sir Elton John on this platform, but I'm going to tonight. Elton John sang a song back in 1976. And the lyrics of one of the verses went like this. If there's a God in heaven, what's he waiting for? If he cannot hear the children, then he must see the war. But it seems to me that he leads his lambs to the slaughterhouse and not the promised land. If there's a God in heaven, well, what's he waiting for? If there's a God in heaven, what's he waiting for? That is not all out atheism. He's not saying, completely denying the existence of God. But I think you'll agree, he's asking some very pertinent and direct and frank and honest questions. And they're questions that many people ask today. Maybe you've come to the cantata tonight and you're asking some of these questions. And you're saying, is God really interested in us? Is God really concerned in our story here on earth? Is God really concerned about our troubles and our worries? And maybe you've never used the words, but in your heart you've said, if there's a God in heaven, what's he waiting for? Some feel that God is so big and so vast that we cannot really know him at all. The novelist H.G. Wells, in one of his stories, told the story of a distinguished man, an important man in the community. But his mind had got so tense and so stressed that he was in danger of having a nervous breakdown. And so he went to his doctor. And the doctor back then said, your only hope is to find the peace that fellowship with God can bring. And the man looked at the doctor and he said, what? To think of that up there, having fellowship with me? I would sooner think of cooling my throat with the Milky Way or shaking hands with the stars. In H.G. Wells' story, this man, to him, God was completely unknowable. He was so distant and so far away. What a contrast to our verse tonight. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. There is a God. He made us. He made everything. He's the maker and owner of everything that exists. And that very God came to us. He climbed down from heaven and entered our world as a human being. Elton John said, what's he waiting for? And in a sense, God did wait for a while. And the prophets wrote about the fact that he would come. Daniel wrote, Isaiah wrote, Micah wrote, and others of the prophets put their quill into the ink and wrote of the Messiah who would come. But then he did come. He was born that first Christmas, born in a stable. And he lived a real human life. Emmanuel, God with us. In the summer of 1850, John Everest Millais, the great British painter, showed one of his paintings in the Royal Academy in London. It was called Christ in the House of His Parents. It shows Joseph's carpenter's shop. Jesus is standing, holding up his hand because he's injured his hand, trying to remove a nail from a board. And the painting in its day caused great controversy. A Times newspaper reporter wrote the following: Mr. Millais's principal picture is, to speak plainly, revolting. The attempt to associate the Holy Family with the meanest details of a carpenter shop, with no conceivable omission of dirt, of misery, even of disease, all finished with the same loathsome meticulousness, is disgusting. It shocked people, seeing Jesus live a normal, everyday life. But that's exactly what he did. He knows what it's like to be human. He lived that human existence. The question is, why did he come at all? Why did he leave the worship of the angels? Why did he leave his Father's side? Why did he leave the beauty of heaven to be born that first Christmas? Sir Elton John, God did hear the children. And God did see the war. In fact, he saw sin in all its horror and in all its awfulness. But more, he knew that sin separates from God for all eternity and it attracts God's wrath and judgment. The painting of Millais showed Jesus with a wound in his hand, trying to remove a nail from a board, and the artist very cleverly in his painting pointed forward to a day when Jesus would die on a cross. And the nails would go through those hands to a board and they would not be removed. There was something Jesus knew that needed done. And he was the only man to do it. He had to die for sin. He had to die for you and die for me. He had to build a bridge between sinful man and a holy God. He had to die as the supreme sacrifice for our sin. So, Mr. Elton John, God did not lead his lambs to the slaughterhouse, but he did lead his lamb to the slaughterhouse. He led his special, perfect lamb, his only begotten son, to the slaughterhouse of Calvary to die for you and to die for me. And that's not even the end. No, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead to new life. Elton John said, if there's a God in heaven, what's he waiting for? There is a God in heaven. He did come that first Christmas. He did die for us on the cross. But what's he waiting for? I'll tell you. He's waiting for men and women and boys and girls and teenagers to turn from their sin and embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is a God in heaven. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to trust Him. He's waiting for you to stake your eternity on Him. He's waiting for you to surrender to Him. And you can do that tonight. There is a God in heaven. He heard the children. He's seen the war. He's seen the effects of sin. And He sent a Savior. And He went to the cross that you might know forgiveness of sins. There is a God in heaven. What's He waiting for? He's waiting for you. This Christmas, will you come to Him? This Christmas, will you trust Him? This Christmas, will you turn away from that life you've been living and make things right for eternity? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a glorious message this Christmas time. Let's turn to our final carol. It's found in 165, if you want to use the book. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. And then we'll close in prayer and then get our tea and coffee and shortbread and mince pies.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for that wonderful, precious, redeeming story. Father, we thank you that it's not just something that we celebrate at Christmas, but all the year round. We thank you that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the Savior. We thank you that he came and he made his way to that old rugged cross to take our place. We thank you that there is a God in heaven and he's waiting for men and women to respond to his love and his mercy and grace. May some respond tonight for the glory of your name. Father, bless the tea and coffee and something to eat and our fellowship together. Bless those who have to travel home. And Father, we pray that you will bless each heart and grant our Father that all of us this Christmas will know the Christ of Christmas. For Christ's sake. Amen.